The reading this evening is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "No, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we have a few moments of quiet? I'll lead you in a prayer. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, Christians have worshipped you in this building for hundreds of years, and all our church buildings represented here, and we thank you for that. We dare to pray in faith now. May your kingdom come. May you add to our number those whom you're calling. And may each of our churches grow. And may we grow in faith and trust and love for you, our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So Ascension Tide, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, if you want to follow in your Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts of the Apostles. And the first chapter, you have a lovely account of Jesus just before he's ascended into heaven. And then a couple of three words struck me: as soon as Jesus is gone, and two angels came and stood to those looking up into the sky, and they said these words, which I want to focus on this evening: "This same Jesus." Of course, they carried on. "This same Jesus who was taken up before you into heaven," that's ascension, "he will come back again one day." I'm not speaking about the second coming, although clearly that's in evidence. Jesus goes into heaven. But those words, "this same Jesus," strike me as quite profound and even prophetic, and is the word of the Lord for this evening. So first of all then, quite straightforwardly, these are the angel's words. Then a little bit more complicated, or something to get our minds around, these are Luke's words. And then, because we're listening to the word of God, this same Jesus is also our words for this evening. So first of all then, this same Jesus, these are the angels' words. Angels in the scriptures often, I can't say only, but most often turn up when something from the other world is happening in this world that we might find quite hard to understand, but is ultimately good. So God said someone from the other world to speak to people in this world, that's you and I, about something that's going to be really good for us, that just because of our humanity, we're going to find really hard. I wonder if there's some easy-peasy biblical theology in that. We always find good things hard. But, I mean, think of the angel to Mary, the incarnation, that's Christmas. You are going to be with child. God will be in you. A human being will have deity within his flesh. God will become man through you, so the angel says. At Christmas time and at Easter, the stone is rolled away. There the angels are again. It is true. The body's not there. Jesus Christ has risen. We've just heard the ascension. Then the very last words of the Bible come. The dwelling of men is with God. An angel says, Jesus sends the angel and says to us, it's finished. All the time when something from another world impacts our world, it just seems to be the case that an angel shows up. And the angel is saying on this occasion, you need to hear this, it's this same Jesus. But it's also Luke's words. Now Luke's words are in the Acts of the Apostles, not Luke the Gospel, but the Acts of the Apostles. Every time a passage of Scripture is read, you always not just need to learn to think about the Scripture that's there, the diamond truth, as it were, but how the passage is in itself, the ring that holds the diamond, if you're looking at a diamond ring. You can't just pull the text out of context. But the brilliant thing about the Acts of the Apostles is there's no other book like it. So you have to ask some very deep searching questions about this same Jesus. What was Luke really wanting us to understand? You've got four Gospels. They're good news. Paul writes letters. You can really only understand Paul's letter if you understand the people he was writing to. Because he's going to say one thing to one group of people and another thing to another group of people. You can only understand the prophets in the Old Testament if you understand the context to which they're pointing. What is the Acts of the Apostles? It's a historical document. Right in verse 1, Luke says that, when I first wrote all the things that happened to Jesus, I wrote my gospel. But now I'm going to put in an orderly fashion all the things that happened in history. That's the important point. That happened in the growth of the early church. I'm sure I've said this before, I know in my own parish I have. Some evangelist was asked once what he would do to make the church more relevant. Listing discussions about making it more modern, up-to-date, trendy or whatever. And I'm certainly not against all that. And he said, I don't want to put the church forward, I want to put it back 2,000 years. There within the Word of God, there within this is how things are, this is how it is in the Scripture, the Word of the Lord today is, this is how the church grew. And right in this historical document of fact about how the church crossed boundaries, coped with difficulties and grew, is this historical document, the Acts of the Apostles. And it's so important, according to Luke's history, that we realize what the angel said was true. It's the very, very same Jesus. This same Jesus, who was taken up into heaven before you, who you've lived with and talked with and ate with and watched. It's this same Jesus now who you're going to be with. Luke, you see, was a historian. He was also a theologian. And there are a couple of bits of his interesting theology that are there within Acts chapter 1. Two very quick things. The word kingdom is mentioned a couple of times. How long was Jesus in the desert for? Come on, quick RE lesson. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. That's Lent, just before Easter. How long was he speaking about the kingdom of God for? It says there in Acts chapter 1. For 40 days before his ascension into heaven, that was all he was doing. I like the fact that he sat down with his disciples and had food and ate with them. That was good. What was he talking about? The kingdom, maybe. He was saying the parables all over again. The kingdom. Luke's theology. This same Jesus, his kingdom. There is a line that draws between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're in the kingdom of darkness. The line is drawn. You're not in the kingdom of light. There are Christians. There are those that have yet to become Christians. There are people who know the Spirit of Christ within them, and they're those with whom we're praying for that they might know that. The line can be crossed. He's teaching about the kingdom. And what a wonderful thing is in the Lord's Prayer to say, "Thy kingdom come." There's a line between heaven and hell, between darkness and light, and there is a very, very, very thin line between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. And that thin line is crossed when we pray. What did Jesus ask us to do? "Thy kingdom come on earth." We'd like to see your kingdom come on earth because it is in heaven. And so please would you pray, Jesus says, that this kingdom in heaven comes to earth. I am not knocking all these wonderful, fancy guides that we've been given. I actually really like this one. I commend it to you. And our lovely curate has done 8 different prayer stations all the way around the church here to help us pray. Absolutely marvellous. I even looked on the website for Thy Kingdom Come, about 10 different ways you can do all these things. And then I remember, oh gosh, what have I done in 30 years? Oh, I worked in a cathedral for 5 years. I remember doing this really mad event to help people pray. We had about 50 different stations all around the cathedral, paid an awful lot of money to get someone to come in to speak on prayer because he was a really good speaker. And we got him to come from a long way away, and he was really, really good. He was really good. And I had the most elaborate visual aid of them all. And as he walked past, I was inviting some sort of comment. He said, "Oh yes, that's very good, because we all need some help to pray, don't we?" I'm being a little bit naughty and cheeky. What is the prayer we need to say? "Thy kingdom come. Lord, would you bring your life of heaven to earth?" We do need help, all these visual aids, all these stations. When Jesus prayed, how was it for him? Gosh, I remember one occasion when he was praying where it said, "It appears like sweat, like drops of blood fell from him." So I guess we do need some help to pray, don't we? All the visual aids, all the gimmicks. Because it's hard. There's a line. There's heaven, there's hell, there's light, there's darkness. There's a thin line, and Jesus says that line can be crossed. Heaven can come to earth when we pray. So the question is, do we? Do we really pray? Do we believe this? Because in Luke's theology, the angels have said to us, and Luke is saying to us, it's this same Jesus who for 40 days was speaking about the kingdom. And this is how the kingdom comes, by prayer. It's completely amazing, because in the same passage, after he said that, after the 40 days, and he says about the kingdom, the disciples there go, "Oh, are you expecting at this time to bring the kingdom to Israel?" It's just like people who listen to sermons and they say, nice sermon, vicar, and their lives don't change. It's just as bonkers. I'm so glad Jesus had it. Bad egg. That's the question. It's this same Jesus. The kingdom is real and it happens to change when we pray. The Father's important as well. It's the Father's authority that's been given to Jesus. The angel's words, Luke's words, and our words. This same Jesus. You'll be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And somehow the Spirit will come upon you so that when the Spirit's upon you, it will be like as if Jesus is with you. And so when you go and you speak to someone, when you go and when you serve, when you go and you're prompted to do something in response to him, it's you that's going, but as you go, it's Jesus that will go with you. And which Jesus is it? It might be the Church of England Jesus. It might be the Deanery Synod Jesus. It might be your parish church Jesus. I don't actually know what that Jesus looks like for you. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Please, all that's important, but Jesus is so much more important. Will you take him with you when you speak to someone? Because if he's with you, when you go, the person they meet, when they meet you, is, Lord, bring your kingdom that's up there, that is in me, because I needed your love to get from darkness to light. And will you be with that person when I speak to them and serve them? In Luke's word, our word, the angel's word, it's this same Jesus. Have you got that? Have you got that? I wandered from there to there just to check everything was okay in the singing of the first hymn, The Wonder of the Cross. I just kind of wondered, have we got that? Does that do something to us? Or do we need what some ancient once said, a dose of the ghost? We need the Spirit to come upon us that we might be his witnesses. And as we go, it's Christ that goes with us and through us. The Church of England might convert people. The deanery might grow. The diocese might grow. But when Jesus is with us and we go, who do the other people get to meet? This same Jesus. And without asking for him to come, without being filled with the Spirit, it's not going to happen. So why don't we pray now and ask the one to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, and open our hearts, just like the Archbishop of Canterbury did all those years ago in his Cambridge room. I don't know what this is about. Lord Jesus, come and fill me with your Spirit. And we'll trust him to grow the church through us. Luke says there's no other way. And that's what ascension is about. It's this same Jesus that was then, can be with you now, and can empower you to reach other people. A moment's quiet to pray for yourself or perhaps those around you. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us for forgetting you and for barring our lives from your goodness. We open ourselves up to you now. Pray for the filling of your Spirit, that your kingdom would come in our lives, and that the same Jesus that was would be with us all now as we go. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen.